With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 Match Report, and a very happy new year to you. Forest started 2023 with a well-earned point against Chelsea under the City ground lights on New Year's Day. 1-1 it finished. It probably should have been more for Forest. They were the better team, certainly in the second half, created plenty of chances but just couldn't quite find that winning goal, and in the end had to settle for a share of the spoils. Forest made two changes from the defeat at Manchester United. So Dean Henderson was back in goal, having not been able to play against his parent club at Old Trafford with the conditions of his loan deal. Morgan Gibbs-White also returned, a welcome and perhaps surprise return for Gibbs-White. We thought he might have been out for a bit longer with his muscle problem that he picked up in the mid-season break. But he was back in and he proved his worth, as we'll go on to talk about. Jesse Lingard missed out with the injury that he picked up at Old Trafford, and it looks like he'll be out for a couple of weeks now. And Gustavo Scarpa, the new signing, wasn't allowed to feature in this game because of the fact that a few of the games had been played before the transfer window opened in this round of fixtures. So Scarpa will be available for the match at Southampton. So this meant Forest lined up in the 4-3-3 formation that they'd played at Old Trafford, with Dean Henderson in goal, a back four of Serge Aurier, Joe Worrall, Willy Bolly and Renan Lodi across the back, midfield three of Oral Mangala, Remo Freuler and Ryan Yates, and that front three being Taiwo Awoniyi, who was sort of playing from the left-hand side to begin with, Morgan Gibbs-White through the middle and Brennan Johnson on the right, with Taiwo and Jono more as inverted forwards in some ways and getting more involved in the game. I've got Tom with me to look back on the game. First of all, Tom, team news, Gibbs-White being back was a real boost, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, especially with Lingard being out for a few weeks. You just wanted to know where the creativity was going to come from, but just before the World Cup break, Gibbs-White was really stepping up and showing his worth, and he's an absolute fantastic footballer and is a real credit to the to our side at the moment.
Yeah, I should point out as well, Tom, that you and I have both had the flu over Christmas, and you're feeling the effects of it a bit more than me, certainly in your voice at the moment. So if we sound a bit gravelly, listeners, then that is why. We've been struck down by this Christmas flu, but we're going to soldier on. So Forest's approach in this game, I know, Tom, you were a little bit disappointed with the way that they set up at Old Trafford, and obviously you were there and watched the game in person. But Forest here, they looked to stifle Chelsea with an energetic approach and winning the ball higher up the pitch and looking to turn them over on the counter. And it did seem to be quite effective from the get-go, didn't it? Forest were more threatening, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. Because when they got the ball, they just wanted to get it forward as quickly as possible. And we got in a couple of times, especially with Brennan Johnson getting in between Cucurella and Thiago Silva and bringing a decent save out of Azabalaga. And then you had Awoni as well, who Koulibaly, he's looked like he's struggled since his move from Napoli. And I think Forrest were trying to capitalise on that, and he got in a couple of times, and Koulibaly just didn't want to run with Awoni yesterday. He took him out a couple of times, and how he didn't get a booking for that first challenge, I'll never know, because it was a cynical challenge. But yeah, Forrest looked a bit more easy on the eye. I thought they were, in the first 20, 25 minutes, I thought they were a bit tentative and gave Chelsea a bit too much respect, and Chelsea got the goal and everything. But after that, I think Forrest were the better side for the rest of the game.
And we'll come on to how the rest of the game played out from Forrest's point of view a bit later, because as you say, they did get on top and were the better side, certainly for that most of that second half. But the first instance of Forrest turning the ball over nicely and getting a dangerous counter away was Morgan Gibbs-White had the ball around the centre circle, dinked a lovely ball through for Brennan Johnson, who ran onto it and shot straight at Kepa with his left foot. A bit disappointing in terms of the finish, but again, an example of Forrest's speed of thought and mobility causing Chelsea problems. But it was Chelsea who took the lead on 16 minutes, and it was Raheem Sterling. He drove the ball home from close range after Willy Bolly's flick looped up onto the bar, dropped down in front of goal, and Sterling was there to put the ball away ahead of Renan Lodi, I think, who was trying to block on the line. Tom, what was your view on this? Was this a freak goal, or could Forrest have done a lot better with it?
I think it was a bit of both, really. I think it was a freak goal of how it happened, but I think the ball come into the box too easily. I think Warren went out to Pulisic, and he just stood off him, and he's let him bring it onto his right foot. He's putting a decent ball in. He's took a flick off Willy Bolly, then he's hit the crossbar. Then I think there was a split second where we're like, how's that happened? And I wouldn't say we switched off, but it's like a bit shocked of where the ball was, hit the crossbar and come out to Raheem Sterling, who's volleyed it in. So I think, first and foremost, I think we let the ball come into the box too easily in my eyes. Then before you know it, it's in the back of the net. And when you're at the bottom of the league, you just don't get much luck, do you? So I think it was just a freak goal at the end of the day.
And it was a frustrating one to concede, given that Forrest had looked pretty decent in those opening 15 minutes with their approach to the game. But the goal meant Chelsea were in front, and we were a little bit unsure how Forrest would react here, because against top six teams, when they've gone behind, albeit mainly away from home so far this season, they've tended to crumble and concede one or two more in quick succession. But Forrest came back, stuck to their game plan, and were well in the game right up until half time, weren't they? Even though they perhaps didn't have as many chances, they were certainly tough to break down and trying to cause Chelsea problems still.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody stuck to the plan. And when that goal went in, you think, oh, here we go again. Just don't collapse, because Forrest have got a tendency of having a soft underbelly against these top six sides. But like you say, they stuck to the plan and got to half-time just 1-0 down, and then it was a matter of going again, really.
Just going back to the goal and our very own Maradona of the Midlands, he was talking about this goal, and he was saying, we keep finding new and interesting ways to let goals in. And that goal seemed to be that type of unlucky, bit calamitous, and a setback when we didn't really need it. Would you agree that we are finding new and spectacular ways almost to keep finding the ball in the back of our net.
Yeah, it's just one of those. It's just, I don't know if it's a luck thing or whatever, but we are conceding goals in a way that nobody else concedes goals like that. You see, it's just calamitous at times. But
yeah.
But fair play to the Stuck to it, and I think we, like I said earlier, we deserve to get the 3 points at the end of the day.
The caveat to that is Rich, our host, who said that they aren't freak goals if we keep conceding them, which I can kind of see where he's coming from. But that flick from Bolly on another day goes over the bar. It goes away from danger for a corner, doesn't drop onto the bar and to Sterling's feet, or it drops and Henderson can grab it. So, you know, it's one of those. But the important thing is that Forrest responded well to that setback. So the second half then, and Forrest went in at the halftime break, a goal down, came back out for the second period, and they looked to step it up another level, didn't they? Their performance and the way they were trying to take the game to Chelsea. In that second half, Forrest were excellent, weren't they?
Yeah, they were more aggressive as well. They were getting in Chelsea's faces a bit more, and Chelsea didn't like it. There was a couple of occasions when Fuhrer and Mount come to blows, and then there was Zakaria and Yates, and they just didn't like Forrest being a bit aggressive and playing more on the front foot, to be honest. And I think that 20-minute period from half-time, Chelsea didn't have an answer because we just kept using the ball really well in the final third and just finding like that odd bit of space to try and create an opportunity. And then there was a good play with Yates, and he's like put the ball on the edge of the 18-yard box, and Gibbs-White's absolutely hit it like an absolute rocket. And on another day, that goes into top corner. And yeah, I just thought for like a 20-25 minute spell, Chelsea just did not have any answers to our more aggressive play.
Was that a team thing, or did that come from individuals in the side, do you think? You know, like, for example, that midfield three of Froehlich, Yates and Mangala worked so hard throughout the game and really helped Forrest to set that more aggressive tone.
I think it's a team thing because everybody's got to be on it, and they were like pressing more. Everybody was pressing more and more aggressive. So I don't think it was... I mean, Yates and Froehlich and Mangala had a really good game, but I just think in the second half, all the players just stepped it up that extra 10%, and to a team, Forrest were brilliant. And Owoni was I know he got man of the match, but I think that was definitely his best game in a red shirt, because he just kept running at Koulibaly, and Koulibaly just couldn't cope with him. And I think he just... He grew tired in the end, but I think it was another brilliant performance by Awoniyi. And it just worked when you've got like a focal point up front, somebody who you can play off and run the channels. And I think in the second half, everybody stepped up that 10%, and as a team, we were brilliant yesterday.
And a word for Taiwo there. You mentioned him, just how good he was on the day. And there's been question marks over whether he can be that kind of focal point striker, whether he can use his physicality and use it enough in the Premier League and help Forrest to hold the ball up and bring others into play around him. But he was doing all of that against Chelsea and had pace and movement to trouble Koulibaly, as you mentioned, and really stretch that Chelsea back line.
Yeah, he's definitely got attributes to succeed in the Premier League. I'm not going to say he's going to be like a top-end striker like a Haaland or a Salah, etc. But he's definitely got like the physical attributes to actually be a success in the Premier League. And I think at the start of the season, he was very like all arms and legs and a bit raw and everything. But I think in the last month or so, I know it was against Blackburn, and no disrespect to him, to them, but he took his goal really well. I mean, he had quite a few chances in the game, but I think he's just piecing bits together now, and I think the coaching staff have to take credit of really working with him, and he looks a lot better player than he was when he first arrived at the start of the season.
And it's encouraging to see how he's developing, and hopefully now he's going to take on that role as the main number nine, because performances like the one yesterday show just how effective he can be. And he had another chance to score early in that second half when I think it was Remo Freuler had got the ball on the edge of the box. He just played the ball out to the left-hand side. Lodi was running onto it and perhaps should have taken it on, but Taiwo took it off his foot and hit a left-footed strike straight at Kepa again. It was quite a comfortable save, but it was nice to see actually Taiwo using a bit of a striker's instincts. I think he was just looking at the ball, looking where the goal was. He didn't really see Lodi coming in. So that's another aspect which I like to see from a striker. He's prepared to just have a go and chance his arm, if you like.
Yeah, there was a chance in the second half where Brennan Johnson's gone down the channel, and on another day, in hindsight, he probably should have squared it to Taiwo. But I've looked back at the game, and when the game was happening live, and you think, oh, he should have passed, but then you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, Thiago Silva got back and I think Cucurella got back. So to actually find a 1E for a tap-in probably was a bit difficult. So I can see why Johnson took the shot. But like you say, Taiwo was that one where he's took it off Lodi in hindsight. Lodi should, because it was on his left side. But on another day, he might have like, you just don't know, do you, in football? But no, it's nice that Taiwo's like striker instincts, and he's took the shot on. Obviously, he didn't score, but he's made the keeper work, hasn't he? So,
and you mentioned that opportunity there with Brennan Johnson down the right hand side, played through with a nice ball. His pace got him away, and yeah, on the first viewing, you look at it and think, why has he not squared that? Because Taiwo's got acres of space to run onto in the middle. Yeah, but Johnson's took the shot and it's saved by Kepa. But then you look at the replay and you think, well, the option wasn't really on to pass. And that's because Thiago Silva has blocked off that passing lane expertly. And by the way, how good is Thiago Silva still at 38? He was just running that Chelsea defence.
Yeah, how he read the game yesterday, we thought Van Dijk was a Rolls-Royce defender, but Thiago Silva was like, in another league. I mean, at 38, there was a ball that got played over the top. I think it was in the first half. And he was up against Brennan Johnson. You know Brennan Johnson is quite quick. But as soon as that ball was going to be played, Silva was on the run kind of thing. And he just read it and he just blocked the ball and from getting to Johnson. And he was just like, just top defending. And
yeah,
like I said, I don't like really bigging up other teams' players, but you got to take your hat off to Thiago Silva, how good he was yesterday.
His reading of the game was expert. Like you say there, that one where he's running before the pass has been played. He knows where the ball's going to go and he's a few yards ahead of the game before anybody else. And there was a chance as well where we turned the ball over in the first half. Morgan Gibbs-White running at goal and Silva just dispossessed him so calmly with a great tackle, and just shows you really these elite level players, even still at 38, how good they can be. And again from Forrest's point of view, it's just how you work against those kind of players, how you find the opportunities eventually to score the goal. And from our point of view, the goal came with actually a set piece. If you like, it was a corner that was whipped in. It was headed up in the air by a Chelsea defender. But it's Willy Bolly who keeps it alive for Forrest. He nods it down. And who's there but Serge Aurier to swivel and hit the ball past Kepa for the equaliser. And actually was a great goal, Tom, when you think about it. For all the players to be in that position, Serge Aurier, and he finishes like a pro.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with it, it's like there's just bodies everywhere, isn't there? Now he's chested it down and volleyed it, and on another day that could have gone anywhere, but he's like he's put it through Azpilicueta in goal, and it really is a top finish. But it was nice to actually score from a set piece, because I think most Forest fans would agree with was that our set pieces this year have been atrocious, really. I mean, there was a couple of occasions against Man U on last week where we've took a corner, we've absolutely ballsed it up, and they're on like a three-on-three attack because on the counter-attack. So, no, it's nice to actually have a set piece yesterday and have a bit of reward from it because, like I said, our set pieces this year have been awful. Well, this season, I should say.
Yeah, and another reason why having Gibbs White back in the side is so important because his set piece delivery is much better than anybody else in the side. Really, nobody else is really stepping up when Gibbs White isn't there. So, yeah, nice to get that goal from a set piece and well deserved as well from Forest's point of view. Talking again about Gibbs White, a little bit more on the opportunity that was so nearly went in for him. And it was Ryan Yates with the ball down the right-hand side, drills the ball back towards the edge of the area, and Gibbs White, first time, takes it on the volley, and it's just rising. It hits the crossbar, comes down, and lands just in front of the line. But if that goes in, that's one of the goals of the season.
Yeah, Gibbs definitely. White,
brilliant effort.
Yeah, and Azabalaga, he's just hopeful that either goes over because he's getting nowhere near that. And technically, I think Gibbs White is probably one of the best players I've seen in a Forest shirt. I just think he's absolutely brilliant when he's got the ball at his feet. And that quality is, I know we've spent quite a lot of money for him, but that's the quality what he has. And if that goes in, like he says, that's the goal of the season contender straight away. But like I said earlier, it's just the luck, isn't it, when you're at the bottom. If that's a De Bruyne, for example, it goes in, but seeing we're towards the bottom of the league, we just don't get the luck. And yeah, like I said, it's an absolute brilliant effort. Unfortunate for us, it didn't go in. And I think if it did go in, I think we would have deserved to come in. I think it was before the goal, wasn't it? But yeah. But we definitely did deserve that if it did go in.
And that's the thing, really. It's that whole performance probably deserved more than from Forest than what they got in the end. Probably were good for the victory. And in the end, we've had to settle for a point, which I suppose against Chelsea is not a bad result. They've got quality players and are probably a better team than their league position suggests at the moment. I don't know about you, Tom, but a lot of fans I'd spoken to before the match felt it was a good time to play Chelsea because they're in a bit of a rocky patch after Graham Potter's decent start as manager. They're struggling a bit at the moment. And it felt like an opportunity. Now, I suppose Forest have taken something from that opportunity. They've got a point. But do you come away from that game disappointed they haven't got all three, or happy with the overall performance and result?
Before the game, if someone would have said, you're going to get a point against Chelsea, I would have took it. But on the reflection of the game, Henderson hasn't had a save to make. And looking at the chances what we had and how well we played, I am slightly disappointed that we didn't come away with all 3 points because that would have been absolutely massive and the incentive was there to go and get the 3 points because 3 points would have got us out of the relegation zone. But, yeah, with Chelsea's problems and everything, I just don't think this Graham Potter experiment was going to work because, no disrespect to him, I mean, he's done all right at Osterlands and Swansea and Brighton, but he hasn't won anything. And with the money what Chelsea spend, they're expecting to at the very least get a top four finish and a trophy. And I just thought yesterday Chelsea were very tentative. I think they played like a Brighton under Potter, whereas they've had all the ball but no end product.
The 1865 Match Report.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
I think the way that Forest approached that second half is encouraging because at 1-0 down, it could have been very easy to sit back and and almost bemoan the lack of luck on that goal that Chelsea scored and think sort of, here we go again. We're probably going to lose against a big team and, you know, let's just accept our place and settle for it. But Forest came out with that approach again to press high and go after Chelsea. And they seemed to smell blood. They could sense that Chelsea were not at their best and were not playing well as a team. And that's encouraging because that's Forest reacting to a situation in a game and not allowing a setback to define their performance.
Yeah, and also, especially second half, some of the Chelsea players, I don't think they like being on the pitch. Mason Mount was getting involved in spats with like Froilo, etc. Zakaria, I think, was their best player yesterday. He got into a spat with Yates. Raheem Sterling didn't notice him in the second half and he got brought off. And also we had, obviously, the threat of Hawani running at Koulibaly. So, yeah, we did smell blood. It's just disappointing that we couldn't find that second goal. And I think, like I said earlier, we would have deserved all 3 points on reflection of the second half yesterday.
One key stat, and a stat that I quite like from this game, is that on the 7 previous occasions when Forest have conceded the first goal of a game this season, they've lost all 7. But here, they came back and they got a point. And perhaps more importantly, in those 7 games, they went on to concede 23 goals without scoring themselves. But against Chelsea, they not only scored the goal, but they got a point. And even though it's not a win, this result, it does feel like an important moment for us in the season. And a moment where we've showed resilience to come back into a game and take something from it. And that's got to bode well for the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, I think looking back at the game yesterday, I think the players realised that the plan was working and it was a freak goal what we conceded. Against like Man U, for example, if it wasn't for Hennessy, that could have been 8 or 9. And once that first goal went against United, you think, oh, then the second goal happened. And I think Forest did dig in a bit and obviously not make it like 3 or 4 in quick succession. But yesterday it was like really telling that and they stuck to the plan and they didn't like become like have a soft underbelly like we've seen recently. So yeah, I think it's a building block. And another thing is that the record at City Ground recently is like teams don't want to come here. And I think that's absolutely telling. I think it's unbeaten in 5 games at the City Ground or something like that.
Yeah, 5 or 6 now it is. It's a nice little run that Forest are putting together.
Yeah. And I know the away form's got to pick up drastically if we want to stay in this league. But the home form is like really encouraging. So if we can just stick with what we're doing and try and get a few more points and goals on the road, then I think we'd be all right this season.
And before we look ahead to the Southampton match, a quick word for some of the players who stood out against Chelsea. So we've mentioned Taiwo, who was excellent. Gibbs White, again, who was just making things happen and showed his importance to the side coming back in. I thought Willy Bolly at the back put in probably his best performance so far as a Forest player. Despite his involvement in the Chelsea goal, he recovered well and he was solid all game and obviously played a part in the Forest equaliser as well. That's one of his best performances since he joined.
Yeah, I think looking at it, it's like he's been a bit ropey in games and I think he's like a bit too relaxed when the ball is at his feet and everything. He makes the odd mistake. But now, like you say, yesterday, that was his best performance in the Forest shirt.
And the midfield 3 as well, Mangala, Froiler and Yates all worked really well, I thought. Worked hard, shut down Chelsea, made life difficult for them. They were winning the ball back in high positions and allowing Forrest to turn Chelsea over quickly. And there's a really nice balance now in that midfield. The way that all 3 of them are working together is really effective.
I think it's all about understanding. Now they've played together and gelling. It's like another aspect yesterday, that earlier in the season, Johnson and Gibbs-White like the passing was a bit off because obviously there's that lack of understanding. But I think all over the field now, the players having a better understanding of how each other plays. And I think that's going to bode well going in the second half of the season.
So the point moves Forest one place up to 18th in the Premier League table. They are in the bottom three on goal difference, level on points with West Ham, but on 14. But obviously Forest's goal difference of minus 22, that's what's keeping them in the bottom three as it stands. But there's a cluster of teams now up to sort of Leicester in 13th, who are all within a couple of points of Forest. So the next game away at Southampton on Wednesday suddenly feels like a real opportunity for Forest. Southampton are bottom, 2 points behind Forest. But looking at this, it does seem like almost a six-pointer, to use that cliche. We've talked a lot this season about Forest away from home and how they're just not at the same level as they are on home soil. They've only scored one away goal this season. That was in August at Everton. They struggled to create and score goals away from home. What can they do differently to turn their fortunes around on the road, particularly when you're going away in your next match to a relegation rival in Southampton?
I think they've got to be less naive with the ball, with and without the ball. I just think that you need to get closer to Awoniyi. Against Man United, it was a case of they played the ball up to Awoniyi and he was like, the nearest player was 40 yards away. I think we've got to get closer and close the line zone a bit more and have more care with the football. I think the game on Wednesday, and I think it is a must win because we're not great on the road in what a better, and they're fragile at the best of times at the moment, Southampton. And I think we've got to go into that game wanting all 3 points if we're going to stay in this league.
That's the key thing. It's good that our home form is solid and that we're picking up points, but those points alone are not going to keep us in this league. We do need to find ways of getting points on the road. So would you like to see the same approach that we took against Chelsea when we play Southampton, or would you like to see perhaps a bit more attack-wise, maybe somebody like Gustavo Scarpa coming in to really try and take the game to Southampton?
I think the approach has got to be very similar, just like that first 20 minutes. Don't concede, because we tried that. I know it's a few months ago now and we're a better side, but in the Leicester game, there wasn't really... the plan wasn't working, etc. And before you know it, Forest were like 2-3 down, etc. So I think the same approach has got to be applied. Plus, we've got to be better with and without the ball and not be naive and get closer to Awoniyi. And I think you've just got to like play the game in stages. But I think our best asset is getting the ball as forward as quickly as possible. And especially with Gibbs White, Johnson and Awoniyi, I think we could hurt Southampton, but obviously we've got to keep it tight at the other end and take better care with the football.
So it is a massive opportunity, this, for Forest against a side who are most likely going to be down there with them in the bottom half of the Premier League table and fighting for survival this season. Let's hope Forest can pull it together on the day, put in a good performance again and pick up from where they left off against Chelsea and, fingers crossed, turn that into all 3 points. Thanks, Tom. And we will be back with you with our match report after the Southampton game. So until then, thank you for joining us and we will see you after Southampton.
Podcast Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.